Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 112. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we got some kick-ass movies for you this week.
We do.
Yeah, basically. And we're going to start it off with Chris. You got out to see Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, number one movie in America. It is, I don't know if you want to call it it's the reboot of King Kong, right? Like, it takes place during, like, right after the Vietnam War, right at the end of it. And, these two kind of kooky scientists, led by, John Goodman and, Corey Hawkins, they work for, like, this government think tank that evidently, like, hunts monsters and shit, but nobody believes them that they exist. And they get some funding to hook up with this other company that's going to the uncharted island in the Pacific somewhere. They get a military escort from the end of the Vietnam War, led by Samuel L. Jackson. And they go to this island that is surrounded by this constant hurricane. They bust their way through, and they encounter a fucking massive giant gorilla that wrecks some shit up. And the story's pretty dumb. It's a big monster action movie. Like, they go there, he's killing us, but, like, they attacked him, and then they come to, maybe he's not, like, the actual bad thing on the island. There's these things that are worse, and Kong is keeping them at bay. So there's, like, a big monster fight between them and these other things that John C. Reilly, I think, calls, like, skull walkers or something like that. It's like they have creepy skulls on their head. It's fun. Like, the action's cool. Kong looks amazing. There's all sorts of big giant monsters. There's a weird giant spider thing. There's the skull creature things. The giant battles are awesome. All the effects were done by Industrial Light and Magic. It plays around with some themes regarding the Vietnam War. And maybe how some people that went to war never left it behind or couldn't leave it behind. So that's kind of like Samuel L. Jackson's thing. Is like he doesn't know what his life would be without
kind war, of so. Kind of the Hurt Locker a little bit.
Yeah, like he's still looking for that high from war. So, but it's not real deep. Like, the movie is not deep at all. It's just kind of a dumb, fun, big monster movie. And I don't know if this is directly linked to Godzilla. Like, Godzilla takes place, like the latest one, took place in the present day.
Did it really?
I'm pretty sure. Cause, like, they were like Afghanistan type, like, I think he was like a veteran of Afghanistan, the main character there.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're definitely right.
And but it definitely has like that feel. And the end of this, if you stay through the credits, there is an after credit sequence that kind of implies that they are going to bring back more of the giant monsters and possibly pit them against each other, you know, Godzilla Mothra style. So. Like, they specifically call out Mothra and, like, three other, like, Godzilla, and there's, like, two other ones that were in there. So, it's fun. You're not going for anything other than, like, a big monster movie, but it's a fun big monster movie.
It looked pretty fun. Yeah. I just, for whatever reason, didn't make it. I guess I really don't have too many questions other than how long is the movie? And how long does it take to get to Skull Island and shit start going crazy?
So it's the film is under 2 hours long. So
okay,
it's like it's just at the I think it's like 118 minutes, so just under 2 hours. It takes maybe about a half hour before they get to Skull Island. Like, the first act is definitely setting up who the two doctors are. It's like setting up all the main characters, who the two doctors are, who Samuel Jackson and his crew are, who Brie Larson, and she's a photographer that kind of hooks on to this mission, and then who Tom Hiddleston is, as he's like a British SAS tracker that they sign on. And then once they get there, things immediately kick off. Like, once they get on the island, it is kind of nonstop from there with action. There's a couple lulls just to kind of breathe, which is nice. Yeah. But it's generally like, once they get there, things get moving quickly. It's just fun. Nice. Like, it's not anything special, but I think it's a better movie than Godzilla.
Which I liked that one.
Yeah, I like Godzilla. Like, it's fun like that, though. Like, once Godzilla starts wrecking shit in that movie is a ton of fun. It just takes forever for that to happen in that film.
I know. So. That's the problem with that one, is it is really slow. And at least the last half hour is good.
This kicks in with Kong way earlier. Like, you see him. They get in like an aerial battle with him. You see the size of him. Like, these helicopters are small next to him. So it's cool. It's fun. And I like that they're going to expand on it with more big monster movies.
It could be fun. Yeah, I remember as a kid, I always wanted to see the old King Kong versus Godzilla. And I don't think I ever did, but that'd be cool. What's your rating for that, Chris?
I'm gonna go with 3, but it's a strong 3. It's a good, fun, dumb action movie.
Yeah, it's probably gonna end up being a rental for me, but I'm looking forward to it when I do get to see it.
Yeah.
But we both did make it out to see the latest Wolverine movie, Logan.
Yes.
And how did you feel about that one, Chris?
I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, me too.
I guess we should probably like explain exactly. Like, this is like the 8th movie that Hugh Jackman's played Wolverine in, or something like that. Like,
yeah,
he's been around for a while. I'm not entirely sure where this. It obviously takes place after all the X-Men movies, but. I'm not sure.
29.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it fits into the timeline, if it fits in at all, if it's like an alternate timeline. Patrick Stewart is back as Charles Xavier. But it's really Logan and Xavier, and then this one other
little girl, yeah.
Yeah, Laura, and it kind of deals with that. Logan and Charles are kind of hiding out, and they get pulled into this kind of almost like an escort rescue type mission with this girl Laura.
It becomes like a road action movie, like where I guess like the setup is like as I said, it's 2029, so near future. It seems like most of the mutants have been eliminated,
mm-hmm.
and so like you got. He's working as like a limo driver, and Patrick Stewart, they're hiding because he's old and senile and not in control of his powers.
Mm-hmm. And he's dangerous. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. And then they stumble upon this little girl who, you know, is like what, 10 years old or whatever. And it looks like she has mutant powers, and the movie is essentially that. Yeah. Like him, Logan and Xavier escorting this girl like up north to Canada, right? That's what they were going, right? Up north.
Yeah, they're going to a place called Eden in Canada that is like a safe haven for mutants, or at least that's what is thought.
It's kind of like that aspect of it is kind of interesting because The X-Men stories have always kind of acted as like metaphors for like things in real life, you know, racism, etc. Like, there's definitely like a strangely timed like immigration story kind of going on here.
Yeah, they're kind of cool. Smuggling this girl that who's a from Mexico.
Yeah,
up north. So.
So that's definitely there a little bit, but I wouldn't say that's like the main
thing
that they're trying to talk about here. It's more of a very personal kind of story about Logan and this little girl.
Yeah, this is a father-daughter movie, like really.
Yeah.
Like even if Logan doesn't necessarily, maybe if he's not necessarily her father, there's definitely a father figure role that he plays in this movie.
Yeah, whether he is or he isn't, that's how it functions in the movie. Yeah, and it's kind of like somber and sad and, you know, not what you might expect in that. But it's also pretty awesome. Like, there's some great action in this. It's very R-rated. Yeah, Xavier cussing. Mm-hmm. Everyone swearing, just brutal violence with his claws, like just ripping people's heads off and shit.
It is a gory ass movie.
Yeah, so like, despite the fact that like it kind of overall feels like a downer, like the movie is like by the time we're in the first big action scene and he's like stuck his truck to a fence and then he's like dragging the fence around and taking off, like, you know, picking off more people like by tripping them with the fence and shit.
Yeah.
I was like, this is pretty awesome. And that was pretty much my reaction throughout the whole rest of the movie. I was like, this is pretty awesome. Like, they nailed it. Like, and I really liked the performances all around in this. Like, all three of them I thought were great in it. And I think to some of the characters here, I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm now maybe 2 weeks removed from having seen it. And, it might be my favorite X-Men movie.
Yeah, it's possible. It's so different, I'd say.
Yeah.
From a lot of them.
Very, very different from the other X-Men movies.
I kind of lean towards it too, just because I like the fact that it's a small personal story, and also, like, dude, the violence, like, you know me, I'm a sucker for gore and shit, like, well, and tearing people up.
It's what you always imagine Wolverine as being, like, it's really like that, like, even in the comics, like, it's kind of tones it down, but like, this is a dude that has fucking claws, like. Knives that come out of his hands and they are used to kill people, like, and it's never really been put to effect, like, explicitly like this before, like, you know what he does with them, but they've never shown it. And you know, that is another piece of this too, is that, you know, that what he's been built for, this violence, it's draining as a person,
like,
kill as many people as he has, to be manufactured in such a way that is his purpose in life. Like,
I really love what they did with him too early on in the movie, where he's kind of loner and he's doing this limo job and he's just drinking and fucking taking pills. And yeah, I don't know. It just, like, it hooked me right away as like a character, like, story, like, not even, like, it could have not been Wolverine or whatever. I just kind of dug, like, how they, like, hooked you into his life, like, where it was at this point in the movie. I don't know. There's other things, too, I thought were, like, there's, like, little touches I thought were pretty cool. Like, there's one part where you see self-driving trucks, and it's just, no one really says anything about it. It's just there. I thought that was pretty cool. All the action scenes are, like, especially, like, I really liked that one early on with the fence. I don't know why. I thought that was pretty creative. I don't know. I mean, I guess the only thing that comes to mind that I did not was not in love with was the villain in this movie, who is played by, I can't think of his name right now, but he's the, one of the two guys on Narcos. I don't know. I thought he was kind of goofy or something. Like, I don't know. I didn't.
He's the one with the hand.
Yeah, he's got like a robot arm.
Yeah, I wasn't big on him.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I guess like I was talking with my friend after we left the theater. Like, I guess the ultimate villain was kind of like the government or whatever, you know. So like, this guy was just like,
yeah,
a representation of that. But I don't know. He just, I could picture someone else doing more with that role, or maybe just the role being written better or whatever. Like, it wasn't, he wasn't super interesting. He's just kind of a thorn in their side that keeps showing up. I don't know, though. Other than that, like, I thought it was pretty awesome. I do think it was weird that there is, like, in the movie, there are, like, X-Men comics. Like, I think that's a little strange. Not just that they exist, but also that the movie uses that as, like, a big plot point. Like, it's cool. Like, it's a cool line when he says, you know, all the things in these comics are bullshit. And it's kind of like the idea of like what they say in Unbreakable. It's like, well, comics exaggerate what the real story was. Like, I like that idea, but like,
right,
they do use the comics and to factor into the plot a bit much. I was just like, I don't, it's kind of weird, but I mean, it's not like a huge thing that affects your enjoyment of the movie.
Right. But it, there is, I could definitely see where that, it is kind of an issue, because the woman that helps Laura escape, X-23 escape, she's smart. She's a nurse. Like, she's obviously been trained. She's not somebody that would be like, but I guess if you live in a world where superheroes exist and they are cataloged in such a way that, you know, there are X-Men comic books or whatever, maybe you would think that, well, maybe there is this place that exists.
Yeah. And strange. I don't want to spoil what happens with that, but I mean, it works out fine, I guess.
Yeah.
But I just found it was like a weird thing at first. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know. Overall, like, dude, I've said many, many times, I am sick to death of superhero movies and comic book movies and all that. But if you're going to keep doing them, this is definitely in my, like, right up my alley. Like, just going R-rated and doing a different type of movie out of it. But like, this is not a big popcorn movie. This is a smaller, like, action movie, you know?
That's the bigger thing, right? It's, yeah. I don't necessarily know if you need to go R-rated with all of them, but it's doing something different with it. Yeah, when it fits the character.
Spider-Man. Right. It wouldn't fit Spider-Man, but
doing something different, because all the, especially the Marvel stuff, and maybe not on the Fox side, because, you know, Fox has all the X-Men stuff, but even up until this movie, they all kind of feel the same. Like,
yeah, and I'm sick of it. Like, I'm sick of the whole Avengers thing. Like,
they're all part of, and I mean, I enjoy them. I think they're well-made movies, but they definitely have this feeling of being like a two-hour-long TV episode at this point, as opposed to something special like a movie should be, right? Like,
yeah, and you know what? That's another thing I could say great about this is you don't need prior knowledge. Like, you could, I guess you could watch The Avengers and kind of figure out what's going on. But it's like you said, that they're so episodic at this point with those movies that it kind of does require prior knowledge. This is just like, you know, if you know a thing or two about X-Men, you'll be fine. Even right. If you don't, you'll figure it out.
If you know who Wolverine is and who Charles Xavier is, you're probably okay. Like, you don't need to know who Caliban is. You don't need to know who any of the other characters are. You don't need to know who X-23 is. Like, that's all explained in the movie. Or not. And it's not necessary. Like, it's not necessary knowledge. It's just flavor. So.
And just the fact that they're starting, you know, I'm trying to remember where they started this. Maybe Ant-Man. It's just doing different genres within those licenses. So, like, Marvel has a ton of characters and a ton of different, like, properties. But they could go, all right, I want to do a small, like, hard R action movie about Wolverine. That's like, it could have been anything else. Like, it could have not been a Wolverine movie, but you know, they're using that property to make that type of movie. It's like, that's the way to go. And it's obvious that they figured this out, but like,
Well,
dude, it.
that's the other thing. I don't know if Marvel's figured that out because Fox runs all the X-Men stuff. Like Marvel has a production credit on it, but Fox is in charge of all the X-Men stuff. So maybe like, and Fox has released two of the most different
For sure.
because they released Deadpool last year. Was it last year? No. Was it last year? Yeah,
Yeah,
last year.
yeah.
And Logan this year. And Deadpool definitely suffers in the back half of it, falling along the same standard, like, oh, we're a superhero movie, but it does play with some of that.
It's still got its own personality
Yeah, no,
throughout, like it.
I think that the end of that movie though is like the weakest point, right? Like,
Yeah, but they're still making constant
yeah,
jokes, like
yes.
constant, like hard R jokes, and it's making you laugh more than anything.
Which makes it a better film because, and I mean, that's what Deadpool is. That's who that character is.
Yeah.
And they hit it with Logan as well. So I hope Marvel and Disney is paying attention like to
Yeah.
this. And then, yeah.
That's another problem is Disney owns Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if Disney would have made this, but like you know, Marvel is attached to it. You see their fucking logo at the beginning.
Oh yeah, they. I mean, they definitely get a production credit. Disney's getting money from this, I'm sure. So,
It's just I mean, regardless of who's taking the credit for this, it's like if every big like movie is going to be some sort of comic book property, like I love that they're just starting to branch out with it and going, well, like let's do a heist movie. Let's do a small little R-rated action movie. Let's
yeah.
like really enjoy that. And I guess I don't really want to spoil anything about the ending, but I thought that there was an effective ending that definitely seemed to have an effect on the audience that I watched it with. Just good all around. This is a really fun movie. Well,
I
not
think
always
it's,
fun, sometimes very grim, but
yeah,
it's a
but I
good
think
movie.
it's, I think it's fitting for, I mean, Hugh Jackman's not coming back to play Wolverine anymore. And it's a fitting end to his like 17-year run as this character. So,
And he's always been great in the role, so
yeah.
yeah. But that I could hear people crying at the end of the movie. It's like, damn, dude, it's a whole audience just here. And I'm sitting there with my buddy trying, like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry.
Well,
No,
I'm not taking in the spoilers either, but
don't want to spoil it
I
at all.
like how in some ways it closes off that era that Hugh Jackman was a part of, but it also opens
Yeah.
up a new era that can be continued with
That's pretty
some new
neat.
characters.
Yeah. I know what you're getting at. I thought that was pretty neat. They're doing some cool shit with that. Like, I remember one of the kids like frees some dude's arm and shatters his arm. I was like,
Yeah, it was
ah.
awesome. Yeah, they had some
Chris.
powers.
Yeah, and it just made me think like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, here's like a new group. Like, I don't know, but I guess we kind of. I think I've said everything I was thinking about it. So I don't know. We have to go down to the verdict here. What's your score for Logan?
I'm going five. I think
Wow.
it's the best movie I've seen so far this year, so.
It's up there for me. Like, it's definitely, like, I'd say Logan, Get Out, and Split. Now, granted, those are probably, like, the three that I saw in the theater, but they've all been really fucking great.
Yeah.
So, I'm going four on it. I really wrestled with it. I was at five for a day or two, but now that I've had some time for it to settle. I saw it, like, you know, almost a week ago. And I'm going for, but like it's a high recommend for sure. Like
Cool.
action movies, if you like Wolverine, if you like the X-Men, like this is an easy recommend. And it's just different. It's cool. So yeah, and that's your first five in a long time, as far as I can recall. So
Yeah.
yeah, I was close to it, but not quite. I guess I saw another movie too. I saw Train to Busan, which you talked about before.
Yeah.
That's another awesome movie, man. So if you didn't hear Chris talk about it before, it's basically zombies on a train. It's a guy and his daughter. They're on a train going to see, bringing his daughter to go see her mom, and shit breaks out. You know, there's zombies on the train. The movie is a blast, I think. Like, it's just crazy. It's not quite doing anything super new, but it feels inventive. Like, I think the makeup on the zombies is great. The way the behavior of the zombies is really good. Like, they're, like, all super twitchy. And I mean, I guess, you know, we've seen zombies kind of like that before, but there's just something about them that's a little different. They really make good use of the setting and just like, all right, so we're going to do zombies on a train. What are all the fun things we could do with this? It's honestly feels like a big budget, like popcorn, like summer blockbuster movie, but it's fucking like also a horror movie, which is pretty cool. I don't know. I had a fun time with it. I guess the only thing that really stuck out to me that like kind of bothered me is it felt long for whatever reason. Like I'm watching this movie, they're going through all this shit in it, and I'm like, okay, this must be almost the end. And then I checked like how far it was, and I was an hour in, and there was a whole hour left. I was like, whoa, I thought we were like almost at the end of this. Like, but that's okay because like there's plenty of fun stuff that happens in the second half too. This movie is like, you know, there's little breathers, but it's pretty much nonstop, like sticking to the plot and them trying to survive on this train as like it, you know, goes fucking batshit crazy with fucking zombies. I don't know. It's just a really well done little like action horror movie. And it has, like Logan, it has a little bit of heart to it, a little bit of emotion behind it. I don't know, really well made, dude. It's another kick-ass movie this week. I'd give it 4 stars. I think you gave it 4 as well.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I mean, this is like another easy recommend, like if you're into this at all. And you, I say this all the time, but like, thank God for Korean cinema because they are just fucking awesome. So, yeah, Train to Busan. Check it out, guys, if you have not seen it yet.
Yeah, it's a quite a bit of fun. So,
other than that, you have not really seen much else either, have you?
No.
Oh wait, and I have not either. I've been busy with Zelda, but
you did start a TV show, right? Oh, yeah, you saw another movie too, though.
Yeah, I did see one other movie. It was like 2 weeks ago now, which, you know, because we missed last week. Almost forgot about it for good reason. It's The Light Between Oceans, starring Michael Fassbender and Alicia Vikander. I think that's what, I'm not even looking at it. I'm just doing this by memory. But so that's her name, right? The chick from Ex Machina?
I believe so, yes.
We'll say yes. It's a like weepy melodrama about this guy who, he's like a lighthouse keeper, meets a girl, they get married. They have like, I think, several miscarriages trying to have a baby. And they're like living on this island together alone, you know, taking care of this lighthouse. And one day a boat shows up on their island and there's like a dead guy in it and a little baby. They bury the dead guy. They take the baby as their own and raise it as their own child because she was so depressed about all the miscarriages that she was having. And at, you know, one point, I mean, I think you can figure out where this is going. At some point they have to answer for what they've done. Like, you know, what they did is kind of a horrible thing because the baby obviously might have a family out there. And of course, the baby does back on the mainland, and you know, things come to light, and yeah, the movie's just trying to wring tears out of you throughout, and it doesn't really feel like it earns any of them. doesn't really feel like it earns anything. Like, it's like when he first meets this girl and they like fall in love, it's just like one of those movie romances where, like, you know, because he said hi to her and because he invited her like to go do something, all of a sudden they're getting married. And yeah, and I do think that like their actions, not entirely believable. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I could kind of see it, but it just, I don't know. I just don't feel like the movie earns anything. It looks gorgeous. It's directed by Derek Cianfrance. I don't know if I'm saying that right. He did The Place Beyond the Pines, which I think is a much better movie. Yeah, this was not great. It was like, if you are into melodramas, you could probably do far better than this. Like, it didn't really have any sort of effect on me. And I was just like, well, that was boring. Like, I don't know. I didn't totally care for it. Like, it's like, you could definitely do worse. Like, there's definitely, I'm sure, worse movies in this genre, but like, just didn't pull off what it was going for. And then especially coming off of something like, you know, a couple weeks earlier, I'd seen like Manchester by the Sea, which earns everything that it does and actually is, you know, will emotionally affect you. This is just like amateur hour. This is like Hallmark Movie Channel version of shit. Like, it's just nothing is entirely believable, and it's just people in fucking old timey costumes and fuck all of it. Like, I didn't. Like I said, like, if you're into those types of movies, you might get more mileage out of it, but it's not great by any standard. Also not terrible, but I'm going to go 2 out of 5 for that. Probably an easy skip for you, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't sound good, so.
It's just trying to make you cry the whole time, but, like, unlike Manchester by the Sea, like, the only thing that those two movies have in common is they look pretty good. Like, and they have talented people in them, but this is like a bad version of that. I think I tweeted while I was watching it, like, The Light Between Oceans, : what if Manchester by the Sea sucked? Like, that was like my description of it. It's not entirely the same. It's like, you know, those movies where like terrible things happen and you're supposed to feel terrible, but like, it doesn't earn any of it and it's just corny. Like, I don't know. It's too bad, because yeah. Derek Cianfrance, like, he's an interesting director, and it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But this was just, like, really gorgeously filmed. Blah. So
that sounds great.
Yeah.
Yes, Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. She's gorgeous as well. But
she's going to be Lara Croft in the Tomb Raider movie next year.
Nice. I like her. I mean, and I liked her in the Light Between Oceans, but yeah, not a great movie. I've been watching a little bit of TV. I don't know how you've been doing on the TV front.
I finished Daredevil.
Yeah, how'd you like it?
I think it has a lull, which is where I kind of fell off after the Punisher gets arrested. When it goes into like the Elektra stuff for a while, and I thought that dragged.
Sucks.
And then once kind of he busts out of jail, or you know, Kingpin lets him out of jail, then it picks up again. Like, anytime the Punisher's basically around, that show is great. But when he is kind of locked away and not able to do anything, that season takes a dip.
Dude, like, I was so enthusiastic about season 2 solely because of the Punisher. Everything with him is awesome.
It's the best iteration of the Punisher on, you know, film, video, whatever, ever. So
perfectly cast, too.
He's great.
I mean, that guy is born to play roles like that. That part was really fun, but you're right. As soon as it tried to get into like their backstory about Elektra and like their love story, and I was just like, I don't fucking care.
Yep. Nope. Not at all.
And if it almost is like they're trying to do too much, and it's like we have said this before, like, dude, some of the shows should be not a full 13 episodes. Isn't that what they did with those 13?
They did, yeah, the 13 yeah. episodes. And I think like you could have done this as 10 and been fine.
I kind of like, yeah, I kind of like that new HBO format of 10.
10 episodes. Although,
I guess Game of Thrones is going to be even less than that this year. But
seven, eight this year?
7 or 8 this year, and then next year, 6.
6, yeah.
But that's cool because.
But I'd rather have, yeah, 7 or 8 really good episodes as opposed to
yeah.
8 really good episodes and 5 kind of filler episodes.
Yes. Yes. And like in terms of Game of Thrones, it's great too because we know things are going to be moving fast because this is the end, right? So.
Yes. Yeah.
They have, let's say at best like 14 episodes left or whatever the hell. Yeah. It's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah, so I've been watching it on HBO, Big Little Lies. Have you caught that?
No. I've been interested in it because it has a pretty good cast. But
it has a great cast. It also looks great. It's just I'm not 100% sold on it yet. And I think
So what is it?
It is Rich People Problems, the TV show.
Okay.
Rich white people. And so... All right, it's like these rich white ladies, and you know, you have Reese Witherspoon, who is great in that role. Like, she is the highlight. Nicole Kidman, also pretty good, but like Reese Witherspoon, especially in the pilot episode, you're just like, wow. And then there is this like new mom that's like new to the area, and her son, and this new mom, like Reese Witherspoon, kind of befriends. But then, how do I explain this? This new mom's son supposedly like attacks a girl in the school, and it creates this divide between the parents, where like the new mom and Reese Witherspoon and her friends are like on one side, and the girl he supposedly attacked, like her parents and her friends are like on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of like plays out in the pilot, and. It seems like they're building up more something with that. And throughout the first episode and every episode since then, like, it'll flash forward to these people, like, in an interrogation room, like, talking to police about some murder. And so, it's going to have something to do with, like, the main plot that we're watching, but we don't know what that is. We don't know who's been murdered, like, who gets murdered at some point in the show. And like, but you know it's coming because it keeps flash forwarding to this. But like, I'm not 100% piecing together like who it is that's going to be murdered and why and where we're going with any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where it's like, honestly, like they cut to these flash forwards so much of people being, and they're like comment on whatever you're watching in that scene. So like, say you're watching a normal scene, whatever's going on, and then it'll cut to in the interrogation room. Like, yeah, and Sally really didn't like when she said that. Like, be some person being interrogated, commenting on what you just saw. And honestly, like, that part, like, after a while becomes super distracting and kind of annoying because, like, I'm 4 episodes in and I still don't know who's murdered or why. And you keep cutting to this as some sort of tease, but it's like, I'd rather just have the show naturally build up to that and have that be a shocking moment rather than like you're teasing the fuck out of this.
Right, right.
So I don't know if like I'm 100% on board, but it's like I'm interested. I'm tuning in each week. And like you said, it's a great cast and they're giving really good performances. And like it seems like, and there's little interesting things within every episode. So we'll see where it's going, but I mean, I know it's going towards a murder. I just don't understand how yet. Right now, it just seems like, you know, rich people and, like, you know, you're going into, like, their problems, like Nicole Kidman and her marriage, like, the husband beats her, and then they have, like, wild sex after that. And, like, you're like, okay, where's that going? Where's this going? Like, they're, like, leaving you all these little, like, things to chew on, but you're still wondering, like, how this is going to add up. It's not bad.
Sounds like some of the problems Westworld had after you get, but Westworld at least had like that hook, right? Like Yeah. Had the, you know, the futuristic.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like to it.
This is just like a normal, like, suburban people type thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did have the payoff. Maybe this will have the payoff. I think it's based on a book. And so this is a limited run series. It's only going to be, whatever, 8 episodes. So it's going to start, you know, wrapping up, you know, as we get into the second half here. So, I mean, whatever. I'll watch it and see how it goes. Like, I'm not convinced one way or the other yet, except that, you know, I like it enough that I'm tuning in and I like the cast. So we'll see. I'll let you know how it goes. But, yeah, and I also started watching The Americans, which I've long heard is one of the best shows on TV. You watched it?
No, and I'm interested to see what you have to say about it, because I have heard this over and over again.
Yeah, you've heard it's like great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I have it. It's
pretty good.
I've been on my queue for a while, so The Americans, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's on Amazon Prime, so you can start watching it. I'm like halfway through the first season. You've probably heard the premise. It's pretty simple. Like, it's two Russian spies in like 1981 living in America and pretending that they're normal Americans. That's kind of like the conceit of it. And it has like little things like it really makes me think of Breaking Bad, because they're trying to, you know, convince the world that they're normal while they're trying to do all this spy shit. And right across the street, their neighbor, like right across the street, is like an FBI guy. Like, so it kind of reminds me of like Hank as the DEA agent, like, you know, a little too close for comfort. You're trying to hide right under their nose type thing. And like, they befriend the FBI guy across the street. So like, you gotta got that going on. There's like interesting things to it though. Like, the fact that they can't talk to anyone else about like their problems and they have to like rely on each other is interesting, especially since their marriage is arranged and it's fake.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you got these two people, they have like no one else they could talk to in the world, but this person that they've just been placed with on a job essentially. But then they also have kids together, and like the kids are growing up American and the kids don't know their parents are spies. And so that's like another weird angle too. Like, the kids have American values. Like, how is that going to play out? Like, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. It's pretty good so far. Like, I'm not, like, far enough in to, like, say anything definitive about it, but I'm enjoying it. Like, it's definitely a fun show to watch.
Cool. Yeah, I definitely want to check it out. I'll get there.
Here's the thing, though. It's, like, it's an investment. Because I thought, like, maybe they were on season 3 or something. So I started watching it. I'm a couple episodes in. And I'm like, let me take a look at how many seasons are on here. There's 5 fucking seasons. Oh, yeah. Shit. And they're like 13 episodes long, so it's like full on.
Yeah, it's an FX show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to wrap up some shows that like I only watched half a season of, like last year's American Horror Story, Sons of Anarchy, like trying to wrap up that stuff just to clear them off of my queue so I can get to some of this bigger run stuff like The Americans and House of Cards.
Where are you on Sons of Anarchy?
Season 7. So I just have that season.
Okay. I was going to say, if you're not that far, I was going to tell you.
No, I got through. I got through, and the show ended, what, a year ago?
Years ago, probably. Yeah.
I got through where his girlfriend is murdered by his mom. But he doesn't know that yet, so.
So that's like the murder is the end of season 6, I want to say.
Yeah.
And then season 7 is the final season, and it kind of deals with that. The further I get from that, even when I was watching that show, but definitely the further I get from it, I don't think that show was very good. Like, it's trashy and entertaining in the moment, but like.
Yeah.
Just such unlikable characters, and it went on way too long. Like, 7 seasons was not required to tell that story.
Yeah, well, they got rid of like Jax's buddy, who they kill in like season 4 or 5 or whatever. Like,
who like everyone loved. Like, yeah, and you kill him.
He was the best character on that show. Like, at least maybe not the best character. He was the most likable character on that show, and they killed him off, and and Jax has just become like this dour person. Like, none of them are fun to be around. Like,
no, yeah. And the other thing is, like, a huge tension in that show was Clay. Like, he was the bad guy. Yeah. He was the one you wanted to get. And I'm pretty sure by the point where you're at, that's kind of been dealt with.
But he's dead. And, yeah, he's done.
Yeah. So, and now what's left is, you know, the mom, who I guess she is the ultimate villain.
She's the ultimate villain. Yeah. She's the one that's been pulling the strings on all of them all this time, but
it just took too long. Like, you had a whole season where he was in fucking Ireland for no goddamn reason. And
yeah, that season's bad.
Like, couldn't even tell what was going on half the time that season. Like, I don't know any of this Irish shit. What the fuck are you guys talking about? Can't follow these accents. Like, I don't know. That's what I was going to say. If you were like, I'm in season four, I'd be like, dude, fuck that show. You got better.
Because I saw what happened to Tara, like, I want to see.
Yeah, you got to see how it ends.
I want his mom to get. I want something to happen to her. Like,
dude, yeah, if you're this far, you got to see how it ends. But yeah. Not my favorite show ever.
You got any plans for this week?
I have The Edge of 17 here, so I'll be seeing that.
Okay.
For sure. Actually kind of excited to see that. I would like to see Trainspotting 2, but it is not coming here.
Okay.
And I don't know if that's wide release even at all or whatever, but I don't think I have anything big, unfortunately. I will have whatever I see from Netflix. I mean, I'm still kind of, my life has been kind of taken over by a video game, so. And plus I'm watching The Americans, so there's like
right, that.
So.
Takes up a lot of time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I might see Beauty and the Beast with my kids this weekend. I'd like to see the Belko Experiment, but
yes, that's the other one. Is that this weekend?
Yeah, that's this weekend, but it's only in like 1,300 theaters, so.
Yeah, not like, so yeah. Trainspotting 2 and the Belko Experiment are the two most interesting movies that are opening that I would have gone to see both of them. Not coming here.
Trainspotting 2 is only opening in 5 theaters, so my guess is LA and New York and probably expand out after that. But
it has to then. Like, I would imagine there's enough of an audience. Like, I don't know, Trainspotting was a pretty big like cult hit back in the day. Like,
yeah. I would have thought it would have been wide, but maybe they didn't want to go up against Beauty and the Beast. Because that's going to dominate everything. So
it's too bad, though. Like, I thought I would at least get the Belko Experiment here, but that movie looks so fun.
Yes, that movie looks fun.
Oh, well, so we'll see, but yep. Doesn't look good for me.
All right, well, we'll see what happens. Maybe we might not have an episode next week, so
we'll see.
I definitely want to see Life in two weeks. That looks
interesting. Yeah. And am I the only one like on planet Earth that is actually excited for Alien? Because it doesn't seem like anyone.
Oh, no, I'm super excited for Covenant. Like, that movie looks amazing.
I did not see the trailer for it until I went to go see Logan, and it started. I knew right away. I'm like, oh, this is Alien.
And it looks like a good Alien movie.
And there's a shot of the alien on top of like some sort of vehicle or something. Like, it's just real quick shot, but like you see him in full. I'm like, oh my god!
Is that where he's headbutting the VTOL?
I think so. It's the very last shot of the trailer.
Yeah. Oh, it's like terrifying. Like, he's on like screeching and.
It looks great. Like, yeah. Oh. Like, and even if it's bad, like, dude, I love Alien. Like, I love Alien 4. So.
Whatever. Yeah. I like Prometheus. Despite its issues, like, it's still a fun movie. But this getting back to like xenomorphs,
yes,
bring it on. Yes,
I'm excited for that.
Yep,
but that's the weird thing. That's when you mentioned Life, I thought of that because like Life looks a lot like Aliens,
very
but,
similar. Yeah,
yeah, that looks right. Interesting though.
I guess we'll be back when we're back.
Yeah,
movie dudes. Do, 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 do.